Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Hello and welcome to Off the Beaten Track podcast. My name's Stu Iving. I'll be your host today. It's another week, therefore it's another episode. Today's episode, I am speaking to Abe Cunningham of Deftones. When I set this podcast up a year and a half ago, if someone would have said to me, yeah, you're going to be chatting to Deftones, I would never have believed you. I've got to thank Emma so much for facilitating this interview. And you're in for a treat because Abe's such a nice guy. And we chat about all the records that have soundtracked his creative journey today. And we obviously talk about new Deftones record. It's just a wonderful chat. And you're about to hear it. But beforehand, I just want to say a quick thank you to 76 for producing this podcast. Big thanks and much love to Scroobius Pip and my brothers and sisters at the Distraction Pieces Network. And if you enjoy this podcast and it's your first time listening to Off the Beaten Track, when you finish listening to this chat with Abe, then go and have a look in the archives because you'll find 150 or so episodes with some of your favourite musicians, actors, producers, DJs, comedians. Go and have a little look around in the archives and see if there's anything else that that you enjoy. And if you've really enjoyed this and you want even more content, then I do also have a Patreon page. You can support Off the Beaten Track over there where I put up 3 radio shows a week and video content and all manner of goodies. So you can find out about all of this stuff at offthebeatentrackpodcast.com. Let's get back to business. Please enjoy Off the Beaten Track podcast with Abe Cunningham of Deftones. Listen up. I've only got another new sponsor. Eggfried. It's this super cool clothing label. And if you're into sort of skating and street art and gigging and kind of like really cool art and throwing a little bit of Asian culture and the designer's kind of weird sense of humour in the mix, then you're pretty much there with the wonderful world that is eggfried.com. Now, they do these amazing punchy kind of graphic tees, hoodies and sweatshirts, beautiful art prints, as well as this. They have a denim range, all handmade in-house, all supporting the slow fashion movement. Not only that, they've given you a discount code, 10% off when you head over to eggfried.com. Just use the code EGGSALAD, EGGSALAD, save 10%. Go and get lost in the world of Eggfried. Also, they've got a new kids range, and it's called Small Fried, and it's super cool, super cute. And again, it's all over there in this wonderful world. Go and get involved at eggfried.com.
It's Off the Beaten Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network. Keep me, Stu, with him.
Right, we're recording. I am joined today by Abe Cunningham of Deftones. Hello.
Hello there, Stu. How are you, man?
I'm good. Where are you at right now?
Well, good evening to you. I am in, where am I? I'm at home. I'm in California, Sacramento. Smoky as can be, fires all around. Really, it's already summertime. It's hot as well. And something called COVID, all these things kind of.
That's a pain at the moment, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm concerned about everybody. We're not directly being burnt, but I live in the valley, so all the smoke in the surrounding areas is kind of coming in and sort of hovering, and it's pretty much what happens these days, you know. But it's all lightning strikes, and man, just really bad. So, but
Shall we distract ourselves from that and immerse ourselves in talking about some great records?
I think that sounds like a plan.
Wonderful. Abe, what's the song with the greatest ever intro?
Well, I gave you answers, and they were all from yesterday. Mm-hmm. So they can all change today, but that's the way my mind works. I came up with Eminence Front by The Who. It's just one of those ones where it's obviously later Who too. It's not Mooney playing drums. It's Kenny Jones, you know, but it's just, I just love the way it goes. And it just comes in with that bah, 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 boom, bah, da, and it just goes, you know, and it's just one of those ones. I could give you 1,000 other answers, but that's one that really, really struck me.
I've got to be honest, Abe, I'd never heard that track before. And really? my kind of sort of knowledge of The Who kind of is pretty much pre-80s. Because I think that 82, I think, that album.
And, yeah.
And, I mean, it's quite hard to work out where the sort of intro ends and the song starts. It's quite a sort of mammoth intro, and it builds and builds. It's got a lovely groove to it as well, hasn't it?
That's probably what struck me was the groove. I think it's got it has that great, it's like an arpeggiated sort of just a keyboard synth patch going, you know, which, you know, Bob O'Reilly earlier stuff did as well. But,
yeah, of course.
But it's kind of a, you know, it's a quintessential Who sound, you know, that sort of thing. So, but I think it was the groove, man. The groove just really it's bouncy, but it's forward momentum, you know?
Yeah, 100%. Okay, my second track I'm going to ask you to pick. I want to know the first song you remember hearing that had an emotional impact on you.
Okay, so this is funny. So my father was a drummer. My stepfather was a drummer. My dad was a bass player. I grew up just around music all the time. So my earliest memories are crawling around at gigs and just, you know, as a baby, just knocking things over and being enamored by drums and amps and the smell. But my parents had a piano, and on top was an old turntable, kind of a combination receiver with, you know, all in one.
Yeah,
kind of
yeah,
thing,
yeah.
70s, 60s, 70s. So, and I remember I would put on, the song Fooled Around and Fell in Love by, Elvin Bishop. And it's to this day, when I hear it, I just like, it's one of those ones.
Beautiful record.
Yeah. Just that song in particular. And then of course, I think, also, I would go pick out Pink Floyd, Dark Side of the Moon, which is from the same year of my birth as well. We don't have to talk about that year, but that's one I would just always pull out, and I would go, and we had the LP. I still have the LP. It's all scratched and just horrendous, but I would put it on, and I was probably maybe three, you know, had been out a few years. I put it on the turntable, and I would go and just hold on to my parents' speakers and just rock back to those, you know. So those are the memories, you know what I mean? And the speakers were taller than me. I was just a little toddler, and really just, you know, stuck.
And what would the emotion have been, Abe?
The emotion?
Hmm.
I don't know. I think it was just the, I don't believe I knew much about me. I didn't, you know anything about music at that point. I just, for the Elvin Bishop song, it was just this 45, a little single that I just loved. It maybe was my size. So I could hold on to it. And put it on. But the Pink Floyd stuff, just to this day, is one of my all-time favorite bands. And just that record, man, all those sounds, the clocks, the ticking, the drums, and the reverb of things, and just the way that it was produced was, you know, recorded so well.
Yeah. That record just sounds like somebody just delivered it from another planet, doesn't it? It's like,
yeah, I believe that might be the case.
And like, yeah, I'm sure that's probably where their heads were at the time, anyway. Right. Okay, so aside from the fact that, you know, your folks were in bands and stuff, was you exposed to sort of records in that growing up? Was there always records being played at home?
Always, yeah. And my mom was a chef, so I grew up in restaurants as well. And there was always the best music was, you know, in the kitchens, man. You know, just everyone, this is the 70s and 80s as well. So, you know, and I always fancied myself being in a band that was a mix of probably the Police, English Beat, and maybe the Attractions, Elvis Costello. Like those are, you know, like, and because the Attractions could do anything.
Yeah.
They could play anything, you know, they play the hell out of anything.
Yeah.
And I was enamored by that because, you know, it didn't have to be just one thing. I was like, wait, we can, you know, even our band today, we don't sound like the Attractions, but the fact that they were, you know, they could play all these different things and it didn't have to be just one thing.
Yeah.
You know, the police as well, but.
I definitely get that with the attractions. I definitely.
Yeah.
Like, oh. Okay. Well, for track three, I'm going to ask you the song that reminds you of your time at school.
So, okay. So here's my question. School. I'm picturing, I'm going from my school days are going from probably middle school, junior high,
yeah,
in the state,
yeah,
you know, seventh and eighth grade on through high school.
Yeah.
Of course, music was everywhere all through my, you know, from birth, conception, which was immaculate, by the way, to, you know, everything. But I just, it's funny. I had to narrow it down to one. There was a million songs, but, Howard Jones, No One Is to Blame is the first song that I remember being heartbroken to.
So I'm going to ask a drummer this question.
Yeah.
Do you know who plays drums on that?
I do.
You do?
Ringo Starr.
No.
No, that's Phil Collins. That's Mr. Phil Collins.
It is. It is.
Oh, yeah.
I was a ridiculous Howard Jones fan.
Yeah.
And that track's a beauty. It really is.
I mean, there's many more, but that one really, that was huge in the States, that song in particular. And I remember having my first heartbreak moment. And I was probably in maybe seventh grade. And I think, you know, back then I didn't have big enough testicles to ask this girl out. So, we were friends from the neighborhood and we'd always walk to school and I waited. She was about a block ahead of me walking with her friends. And I said, "Hey," and I got enough nerve to, "Hey, you want to go with me?" "Go where?" Go out, I guess. "Go with," I don't know what that means. "Go with, you want to go with me?" And that meant, you know, it meant go out. But
yeah.
I don't know. I wasn't going anywhere. I had no car. I had a skateboard. And anyways, and she turned around, she's like, "Yeah." And it lasted maybe that day. And maybe a little bit more of the next day. And then it was over. We never went out. We never did anything. That song was just like, I just remember being just crushed. Oh, and, that song and just the chords, the way that song is just, oh my God, it's just,
yeah.
I still think about it now. And I'm just like, ooh. Okay.
Remembering that day and a half relationship.
Oh, it's a good one. It was good while it lasted.
Oh, wonderful. I mean, I'll ask you now, like if you have a, you know, a low day, like do you sort of immerse yourself in music that processes that emotion, or do you put on something positive to sort of move away from it? Are you happy to kind of sort of work through, you know, that feeling listening to music that kind of accentuates? You know what I'm trying to say?
Yeah, totally. I mean, sometimes it's good to just wallow in it, put something on that might not take you anywhere else. You can put on some Slayer and get out of it real quick, or you can put something another thing. But sometimes it's good to maybe it might help cancel it out, I suppose, if you put on something that was a bit not too far off from whatever your day is thrown at you, you know what I mean? And then I think maybe it counters it a bit, and you can, you know. And I'm a person that has I have a victim of shuffle. So if I put on a record, that's one thing, or a whole album, that's one thing. But I always have in my car, I have like a little hard drive, and even on my phone, everything is sort of just, you know, in shuffle mode. So it could be this song and the next thing. And I just, if I don't like it, I just tap next, you know. So that's sort of where I'm at. And then, and that's one way of getting out of a doldrum as well, you know, like, oh shit, I just go, boop, next song, next. And it could be, you know, whatever it might be. But yeah.
So how did you find school? Did you enjoy it?
School?
Hmm.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I had other plans. You know what I mean?
Did you know what you wanted to be at school?
I did. I wanted to be a rock and roll drummer.
Yeah.
In a band.
Well, you know what I mean? You've done all right there, mate.
Yeah, I mean, still working on it, knock on wood. But I always knew, you know, I worked in restaurants because those were great places. I grew up in them as well. And, you know, my parents, my dad and stepfather they ended up having to pay bills. So the music thing kind of went out, you know, and that was one of their dreams as well. So I think, you know, I took that on. But I just always worked. And it's funny because I always had a job. None of my other friends did. So that they would be all out, you know, doing their thing, skating and being wild. And I'd go work and I would see him the next day and like, "Where did you go? You know, where you been?" I was like, "Well, I was working, man." You know? And
yeah.
I was like, "Look at my pockets. They're swollen. They have the mumps. They're swollen with money." They had, you know, like, 'cause I was working, man. So, you know,
yeah.
they're like, oh, well, he's got money. He works. Oh, that's how you get, no. So, but that was just getting to that particular spot. So I mean, I always worked in restaurants and then it was, I had to be in a band and we had to make this work come hell or high water, you know? So,
I mean, you know, at school was music something that was encouraged by teachers and stuff?
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm old enough to, I mean, it's really a shame these days, you know, there's, I mean, there are schools that have music programs and, but that was, I went to a public high school and, you know, in town, and just a regular high school, you know, regular school, secondary school, you know, and, but yeah, we had a great music program, arts, and that's where I, you know, I obviously gravitated towards that. You know, that was, I got into marching band and had the Sergeant Pepper suit and all that stuff later on. That wasn't probably I think it was a sophomore when I started getting in that and the second year in high school and then jazz band as well. But that was just a great thing. Those were, electives or a zero period before. So the jazz band was early but that consumed so much of my time because you had to we had to rehearse and we had these sectionals for the you know, we would go compete and all this, you know, and it was really, really amazing. I learned so much about, just taught you a lot, man, you know.
Was you a confident kid?
I was a loved kid. I think, yeah, I mean, I was shy by all means, but I was loved, man. And, I really believe that if you're loved, you could conquer anything. You know what I mean? And it gave me I knew I was comfortable. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because I was loved. I had great parents, great friends, got along with everyone in school, all the typical, especially in, you get into high school and it gets into cliques, you know?
Yeah.
I got along with the jocks, the goths, the rockers, the everybody, you know, the skaters, the preppies, all these cliques in high school. It's kind of funny, you know? And we call these people the heater people. They would always, the smokers thought they were the heater people. They were by these old radiator heaters, you know, like old, you know, they would always be smoking before they went in. And so I was friends with the heater people as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, to try and carve out a living in the music industry, you know, is tough at any time. And was you driven?
Yeah, definitely, man. You know, I just knew that I had to make it work. And I got together with this group of guys when we were 15. Chino and I were both 15. We were sophomores in high school. And we're still, I mean, there's obviously been a sad passing in our band over the years. There's been things, you know, there's a few different members, but it's still those three guys. And we had to make it work. There was no choice.
Yeah.
It just had to, you know. And we worked our tails off to make it work, you know, so, and still knocking on wood and knocking on any surface for good luck. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, you're knocking it out of the park. New single, incredible. I mean, I've not heard the album yet. You know, what can we expect from that, Hope?
Oh, man, it's just, again, you know, here we are. This is our ninth, I think we've had 10 records. This is our ninth record that actually is out or will be out. So, you know, it's each time it's just an amazing thing. Here we are. Able to do this again, you know, and still on a record, you know, I mean, all these, there's so many changes in the business over the years and it's really, you know, persevering and, you know, adapting and improving, you know what I mean? So to be still on Warner Records, you know, after all these years and to have another chance to make an album in a nice studio with my best friends, man, and something else, you know what I mean? All the while with so much changes and just, you know, and just trying to find your, carve your little niche, you know, out in the world, you know what I mean? So, we're very, very excited, very, pleased with the way things, you know, and it's a good thing, man, you know, just after these years the music's really just a byproduct of us hanging out. So I always say it's the hang.
Yeah.
The hang is 90%, 80% of it, you know, the music, not to diminish the music, but it's just a byproduct of us hanging, man.
You know? I mean, it's an impressive, you know, offshoot of just hanging out. I mean, my hangouts with my friends generally just, you know, end up with just drunken chat, trying to put the world to rights. You know, I think it's you're downplaying just how good your hangouts are, mate. They've spawned some incredible records.
Well, and just the amount of just shit that we talk and. We can all go right to that button and just anytime, but it's everyone has learned over the years that it's really just you know, appreciate each other, man. And we're some lucky dudes, lucky fellas. And I'm ready to rock when we get the green light again. So
oh, I hope that comes around soon, man.
Oh, me too.
Track four, the first record you remember buying from a record store.
Mm. Okay, so there's two. First record, I lived in a small town called Mendocino, about 150 miles north of San Francisco, up on the coast. Little small town, really special spot on earth. But anything that we needed, we would, and there was of course a record store in town, you know, but we would go down, my parents would always go to San Francisco for school clothes or shopping for them. And I would go to Tower Records on Columbus, which is the first tower in Columbus Street, I believe, Columbus and Bay. It was the first tower in San Francisco. And I got the car, Shake It Up, and Iron Maiden, Number of the Beast, if I remember correctly, with my own money. So, you know, I'd had things before, but those are the two things that I bought with my own money.
They're two very different sounding records.
Yeah, definitely.
Has that always been the case? Just completely not fazed by genre? Just if it's good,
yeah,
it's good.
Yeah, and I think, I was definitely turned on to, you know, a lot of, blues and soul, you know, the 60s soul R&B, early R&B, you know, and my parents and Motown, all that kind of stuff. But then a lot of, it was a lot of hippie action up in Mendocino at that time too. And people that, a lot of larger rock people at the time had property and land up on that part of the coast. So like, you know, some of the, like Billy Croyce from the, you know, from Grateful Dead, people had Booker T. Jones, different people had land up. So there are always these great musicians around. So I was exposed to everything, but I think the Maiden thing happened when I started getting like, oh man, this is, you know, that's whoa. And I someone had the Sour the Devil Motley Crue cassette, and I remember like looking and seeing the pinnacle, like, oh my, what the hell, Jesus. You know? And then I saw this other avenue you could take. And but always the music lover of everything, man, exposed to tons at a young age, and still always just trying to get turned on to something else, you know what I mean?
So how important did record stores become for you?
Oh man, they were like they were the best. You know, I mean, and it's funny, Sacramento is where I'm from, and Tower Records was actually from here. Started in Sacramento, it became this huge worldwide thing, you know. And it as we started to travel as a band, it was always so comforting to see the color and that slant, that font, like, you know, the tower. You knew you could just go in and they had Tower books, Tower Records, video, and you could just go thumb through magazines. It was part of my routine. The one in my town was one of the first ones. It was just down, you know, maybe a mile from my house. So it was part of my daily routine, skate down there, look at Thrasher, Modern Drum, all the skate, you know, and you could see these weirdos over in the corner looking at porn. I didn't even know. You see these weird little perverts, like looking at magazines, like a fishing magazine, and up in the middle would be like a Hustler or something like that.
So, yeah.
And then Tower Records, and I would rent the videos, you know, I would go pick up, we were a Betamax house. You had VHS and Betamax.
So I was Betamax.
Yeah, man, it was much better. I mean, smaller.
Yeah.
Come on, man, what the hell? So, yeah, I would go and pick up our movie rentals and return them as well. So it was just a huge, huge part. But record stores, always, and to this day, and, you know, days off, traveling the world, cruising around cities, towns, popping into, you know, and we just need to save them, you know. Yeah, it's hard. It's 100%. Hard, man. But
absolutely. Yeah. Track five, the song that soundtracked your year's clubbing.
So, clubbing.
This can be in rock clubs, Abe. This can be in, like, you know.
I never had a clubbing period because I was out. We were on the road, man. You know. So, but I mean, definitely went. You know, the bus would be our tour bus would be the club, and we play a game called I Got Next, and it would be, you know, the old aux cord. Now it's all wireless, but I mean, you know, we would have. I used to take, you know, huge booklets of CDs and. Everyone would stop bringing theirs because they knew I'd have mine, and then they would get scratched. And I would have to, you know, I bought 20. It's just one of those things. But we play I Got Next, and whoever had the next song, it better be able to beat the one that's playing now.
Yeah.
And once there's no stopping, it's a pretty common game. I think it's got different titles, but I mean, Purple Rain, we're all Prince freaks. There's Purple Rain as a record, as a whole, was always a theme, always on, you know, I mean, there's better records or other, I don't know, of his, but it's just one of those ones that we'd always put on, Cool Keith, Sextile, and science fiction Uncle record when that, because that was another one that had so many, you know, this variety of, you know, and different, and those were like, and I'm just picking out those three. I can name 3,000 more, but those were like just staples for a really good period of time, from like maybe our second record on to our third, and still to this day we pop those things on. So yeah. My clubbing was touring around, you know, the world, and
okay, right. Well,
I'm not complaining.
I'm going to put you on the spot, Abe, right? So we're going to play the game, right? I've just got the CD player, right? And I have just played Lonely Soul by Uncle, right?
Yeah.
And so I've then passed it to you. You've picked up the album Purple Rain. What track are you playing?
Oh, man. I'm just going to kill you right now and put on Purple Rain. Stab you right in your heart, Stu.
You win, man. You win.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Hello, I've interrupted the podcast again, haven't I? Sorry, it won't take a sec. All I want to say is, the songs that we're talking about in this podcast, if we can't play them, it's just because of the regulations regarding playing licensed music and such. So if you want to hear the songs, just go over to Spotify and search Off the Beat and Track podcast, and you can listen to all the songs, because I've put playlists up for each of these. If you can't find it on there, I'll send links on all the social media accompanying each episode, so you've just got to press that one button and you can go through and you can enjoy all the songs that our guest picks.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design, thoughtful construction, and little details that make life in your space easier. And now they're bringing that comfort and style outside with their outdoor collection. Burrow's outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry stain-resistant foam cushions. As always, you get free shipping on every order. Get 15% off at burrow.com/acast. burrow.com/acast.
Anyway, I'll shut up, get back to the podcast. See you on the other side. Track six, Abe. A favorite song from an artist from your home county?
There are not many from Sacramento. There's a few, but I would pick kind of an interesting song. It's a song by Cake, the band Cake, who, it's funny, we both came up around the same time and we used to play shows together. It was an odd pairing, but it's just the way it was in town. We played with everybody all the time, and you know, they went on to do amazing things. And there's a song called Arco Arena, which is it's an instrumental. It's an instrumental. There might be a couple of lyrics here and there. There's two different versions, but Arco Arena was the main arena in town, where all the big concerts were at, and you know, our basketball team, the Sacramento Kings, who I believe are the world champions. They're not. So that song, Arco Arena by Cake.
It's really weird, because Cake kind of had like pretty good success in the UK. Like, I know when Distance come out, that kind of blew up, and then was it Short Skirt? Short Skirt. And I hadn't really paid much attention to them since. And when I got your list over, I went back and I flicked around to find that track that you spoke to. That track that you've picked, that's got a serious groove, isn't it?
Oh yeah, they had gnarly groove. But that one's just, that's why it's just and the bang 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 bang, you know. But no, the groove is just like boom.
Okay, well, from playing DJ on your tour bus, Abe, for the last track, you can play DJ now and turn someone on to something they haven't heard. So for track 7, the song that many may not know that you would like them to hear.
Well, this can change at any second, but I have one of my favorite bands. I can judge a book by its cover, is Dengue Fever. One of my favorite, I love that band so much. And there's a song called Hummingbird, man. That's off, they put out I don't know if you know about them or not, but
I don't know too much about them.
Yeah, they're a band from LA. And then they would play sort of Cambodian, 60s, 70s, 60s psychedelic, which was a lot of the music being played for the GIs over in Vietnam War and all this, you know, this time. So their singer, there's a large, Cambodian population in Long Beach, SoCal, you know. And so she's the singer. She sings in English and in Khmer too as well. So she's kind of got these but the band basically goes back and forth. It's really a trip because they're playing 60s Cambodian psychedelic music with a new modern twist, but she's Cambodian. It's just neat. And they've gone back. There was this one movie they put out, a documentary, Sleepwalking the Mekong. So that's the song. It's called Hummingbird. And it's just, it floors me all the time. It's just, I can't say anything else about it. It's a very mellow song, goes for a few minutes before the band kicks in, and it is right off into the sunset, man. So,
how did you discover them?
My cousin, who lives in Hawaii, he's my Hawaiian cousin. He just said one day, he sent me, check this out, and check this out. It was somebody else, I can't remember, and it was Dengue Fever's first record. And they were on Peter Gabriel's label for a while as well too, and did I think they did their first record up in Bath, where his studio was at, and the New World, I believe. And
that's right.
Yeah, and they're just cool, man. And then they've had a few records since then, but they're just one of my little things that I love and make me happy.
Well, hopefully that's going to make other people happy, because I've put together a Spotify playlist to accompany this podcast, so people can go and listen to all the tracks that you've picked and other songs that we spoke about, and we'll throw some new Deftones stuff on there as well. And so, as it would appear, the world is slowly finding its way out of lockdown and, you know, the bizarreness that we've been experiencing for the last sort of 4 or 5 months. What are you looking forward to most, and what have you got coming up?
I want to go to brunch.
Simple pleasures, Abe. Simple pleasures.
I'll go to brunch with my friends, eat, sip, and talk shit. But I really want to go. I want everyone to be well, obviously, you know, and that's everyone around the world. I want to go to brunch, and I want to go on tour. I want to go. We had been off for a couple of years, obviously making a record, and we decided to take some time off as a band too. And that was about a year, which turned into 2 years. We were still able to pop a record out and write a record in that time. But that was beautiful. But we were 8 hours away from leaving to start tour down in a couple weeks down in Australia and New Zealand. And I was packed and ready to go.
Why?
And then this is already kind of COVID was around, but I was like, hey, I think we got it, guys. I think we're leaving. And then boop. And my bags are still packed.
Yeah. Wow.
That was five. It was almost 6 months ago, man, which is insane. So
it's crazy, isn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. So I just, we got to be smart. And if everyone would just do their damn part and stop being assholes about this.
Yeah, totally.
Maybe we could get this behind us, man. And it looks like it's slowly going that way. But man, can we just do our part?
Yeah, of course, mate. And you know? keep that bag packed, Abe, because you know, the UK wants some Deftones shows, and as soon as it's safe to do, man, like, I really look forward to seeing that. And in the meantime, when's the record out?
It's looking, I believe September 25th in the States, but I'm not even sure I think it might be just a worldwide release. I don't know if it am. There she is. Yes, 25th of September.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for your time today. Best of luck with the record. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you.
Stu, thank you so much, man. That was a blast.
There you have it. What an absolute dude Abe was. So cool, you know. Who says don't meet your heroes? Yeah, don't listen to them people. I can't thank Abe enough for his time. Thanks again, Em, for facilitating that interview. Thank you to you lot for listening. It's much appreciated. As mentioned at the beginning, why not go and have a look in the archives now and see if there's any other musicians, comedians, actors, DJs that you want to listen to me chatting to them about their creative journey to date. Yeah, I think that's me done. Patreon stuff, merch stuff, all of that. Anything you need to know about this podcast is at offthebeatentrackpodcast.com. Right, I'll see you next time. Thanks again. Bye-bye. I've got an announcement. Save Our Souls Clothing. www.sosclothing.co.uk. Why am I telling you this? Because they're our official sponsor. Yeah, that's right. Go and check them out because their clothing is off the scale. You're going to love it. So they've decided they want to be our sponsor, which is amazing. And what I have to do is I have to tell you about why they're amazing. So here's a little bit of blurb. So they've only been going a year, and they're based in Southend-on-Sea, just up the road from me. They put the company together based on a love of tattoos and alternative music, and they've worked with some of the greatest artists around the world to produce these items of clothing that are as unique as you lot. All of the designs are printed using biodegradable, sustainable and water-based inks. And in addition to that, they only print on garments made by members of Fair Wear Foundation. I mean, come on, great clothing and a conscience. Since going live in April last year, they've seen their audience grow massively and are now selling orders all across the world. And they were recognised by Cosmopolitan magazine as one of the best sustainable clothing brands alongside names such as Stella McCartney. I mean, that's quite a first year, right? So go and check them out because they've put a lot of love into supporting this podcast and I couldn't be happier. What else they've done is they've given you 15% off. So if you head over to www.sosclothing.co.uk, do a bit of shopping, see what you like, throw it in the basket, and then on the way out, put in the discount code BEAT15, BEAT15, and that'll save you 15% off. Amazing, right? www.sosclothing.co.uk, official sponsors of Off the Beaten Track podcast.
It's Off the Beaten Track podcast on the Distraction Pieces Network with me, Stu Whiffin.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.